preparation to the service of God's holy word, let's sing now the blue psalter number 46, and the church rises and we sing. Let's open our Bibles now in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. We will read verses 1 through 19. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning verse 1 through verse 19. Today we are studying the Lord's Day 17, which speaks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to do that, we will read and meditate in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 1. This is the word of the living God, and he says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the last of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then no, even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, nor even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we read your scripture and we ask you now, God, that may your Holy Spirit can guide us, helping us to understand the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to believe and to see your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I also invite you to open your forms and prayers book in page 218. We will read question number 45 in the Lord's Day 17. It's only one question tonight, and we will cover this question. I will make the question, and I invite you to answer reading these texts here. Question 45 says, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us? Answer, first, by his resurrection, he has overcome death, so that he might make us share the righteousness he obtained for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already raised to a new life. Christ's resurrection is a sure pledge to us, our blessed resurrection. Thank you. We will discuss something that apparently it's not a problem in many situations. But the big problem that the resurrection of Christ brings to the church, it's that sometimes we need to make a difference between saying that we believe in something and actually believing in something. There is a difference that sometimes we just don't consider. We can use some examples. For example, praying without faith, it's different than praying knowing that God can work through our prayers. If someone is sick, you can go and pray for them, but there is a difference between you just make a prayer without faith and praying knowing that you have a heavenly, a wonderful God which art in heaven, and he can work in any life in the way he wants. God is the one who decides, and we are just called to pray with faith. The same thing can be applied For example, if we believe that we are saved by Christ alone, you can say, I'm saved by Christ alone. But if you are saying that without really believing, without really trusting in this truth, you will work to buy your salvation because you don't actually believe that your salvation is through Christ alone. Many things can be applied to that. We, of course, will not take all those things, but the same thing can be applied to the resurrection of Christ. For many believers, resurrection is something that we say we believe, especially when we quote the Apostles' Creed. But the resurrection of Christ doesn't make any difference for us in our lives, in our behavior, in our faith, or in our hope. We are just saying here and there that we believe in the resurrection of Christ, but we don't believe. And also, especially today, there are some among the believers who says that the resurrection was not truth. This is a big problem. It started especially in the 19th century in Europe when they start to study the history of Jesus Christ and they start to find the historical Jesus. You probably heard about these research. And they spoke here and there that Jesus Christ was a great man. He made amazing things. He's a very good example, but he didn't resurrect from the dead. And they say they are believers. They say they are Christians. But we will see here that Paul disagrees with them completely. Because resurrection, it's not something that we can just think about. We cannot just believe in a way that doesn't imply a real resurrection from the dead. And this is what Paul is talking to the Corinthians in this text. We will see three different parts in this text that I choose tonight. The first one is the first verses, where we will find many important information that Paul gave for us about the Corinthians. First of all, he is speaking to them, saying that he offered to them the gospel that he received not only from Christ, but also from the apostles. He's preaching the common gospel to them. We just quote what Paul was preaching to them. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he was born under Virgin Mary. We believe that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, buried. He descended into hell. We stop in this situation with Reverend Vandermeer preaching here a few weeks ago. And then we have that the third day he rose again from the dead. This is the gospel. Paul was teaching them the gospel, was preaching to them the gospel. And here he says in the first verse that they received the gospel. They believed in this gospel and they became part of the church of Jesus Christ in that moment. But he also spoke more because he continues in the first verse saying, in which you stand, which means they didn't pass through another faith. They were still believing in those things. You can go through 1 Corinthians 1 verses. In the first chapter, you will see the same quotations. Chapter 2, verse 2, he will say that he proclaimed to them not the wisdom of man, not with a lofty speech, but he decided to preach only Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he spoke about this Jesus being resurrected from the dead. It's a simple gospel. It's not difficult to understand. And here, they are still standing for this gospel, which makes us think, because in the first 14 chapters of Corinthians, we see Paul beating them strongly for many sins. And besides all those sins, and besides all those problems, they are still standing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is good. It means that we can also stand in the gospel, even knowing that we are sinners until today. But he adds to that, that they are being saved in verse 2, which means that even with their problems, and we know they had many problems, they were being saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not speaking here about a church who is an ungodly church. They had problems, but they were still holding fast in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 2, he says, you should continue to hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This is what we need to understand too, because we need to see that one thing is committing sins, and another thing is change your faith. We are still living a life where we will be tempted. We will struggle against many situations in this world. You will be tempted by Satan. He's working to destroy your faith and to destroy your life. But we need to understand that one thing is committing sins, and another thing is living the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. For us, sinners can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But those who reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God, they cannot receive forgiveness. So the church of Corinth, they were being saved. They are in the heaven with Christ today. They believe in the resurrected Son of God, and they should continue like that. But we also know that many among us, for many reasons, they stop to believe in Jesus Christ as he is represented by the Holy Scriptures. You probably know someone that already was among us as a church, and now they are living their lives believing other things besides the real gospel of Jesus Christ. They reject many truths about the Scripture. Many will stop to believe, especially in miracles, in extraordinary acts. And this is something that we cannot explain by reason. We cannot explain through science. They cannot believe in the faith of Jesus Christ if they become worldly and if they have a worldly thinking. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not ordinary. It's completely extraordinary. We are speaking about a virgin birth. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We know, everyone here knows, that a virgin cannot have a son. That's impossible according to the natural law. But in the gospel, this is the power of God. He's doing things that we will not understand. Another thing is, God is becoming a man. The God, the most exalted, Holy One, He became like us. This is not natural. This is not common. This is not ordinary. This is completely extraordinary. He was among us, being a man. And this man, he offered himself for the payment. He paid a price of sins that he didn't commit. This is also not ordinary. We are not going here and there paying debts of everyone, right? We are not taking the debts of other people. This is not common. This is not what we're supposed to do. But Jesus, being completely innocent, He came to this world to pay a price that should not be given to Him. And here we are, His church, His family, adopted, justified. We have all the blessings because He made that. This is extraordinary. But also, we need to deal with the resurrection. This is even more extraordinary. We have a lot of good people in the story of this world. A lot of people who, people today are still following them. You can think about people in the past, for example, the saints, called saints. We know they are not saints, but they did a very good work while they were among us. Many of them feed thousands of people. Many of them help a lot of people who were running from war or were just unemployed. They were living in the streets. Many of those things. They did many works. But they are dead. They are not alive. We know other important people in this world. Buddha, for example, Allah, Muhammad, those men which a lot of people today follow them, saying they are important, they are gods among men. The thing is, they die and they are not here anymore. There are no resurrection besides in the scripture. We have, for example, many popes. We need to deal with that too. And they say in the Roman Church that they are saints. But they are too dead. And every time that another pope dies, another one needs to be elect. What is happening? There is only one in the story of the world, which died and God pleased to reborn him, to make him come back to life. And this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So our faith cannot be a faith that we believe in vain. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in verses 3 through 11, Paul will give them reasons to understand that and to believe in the resurrection of the dead. He will start with witness, eyewitness about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He quotes the scripture here because he wrote in the late time of the church. This was probably one of the last letters of Paul. And he spoke to them saying, in accordance with the scripture, he appeared first to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared for more than 500 brothers at one time. And then he appeared to the apostles again, to James. And by least he appeared to me. So Paul was not saying about something that he listened about. He saw Jesus Christ reborn from the dead. We don't know what he saw on that day, but we know that he is willing here to confess that Jesus Christ was alive in flesh among all of those men. I don't know if you understand the meaning of this. I don't know if you understand the greatness of this act. All of us, we have a body, right? And we know how fragile we are. If you take a knife, you will cut yourself if you commit a mistake. We can lose a finger. We can lose many parts of our bodies. We can hurt ourselves in a way that we will not restore movements, for example. While we become old, our body stops to work as he's supposed to work. We become weaker. We feel pain. We feel the degeneration of our body. This is normal for all of us, right? But then we are seeing someone who all of them saw dead. He was at a cross. He stopped to breathe. His body was completely destroyed there. And after 3 days, this body, which no one until today can restore life, he just came back to life. With all the technology that we have, we cannot do that. We can try. We can try to use some mechanisms to restore heart beating or those things, but they doesn't work always. That it's common for all of us, but not for Jesus Christ. He was dead and he is alive. The tomb is empty. There is no tomb of Jesus Christ. There is no place where he is resting or sleeping, as the scripture says about the believers, for the rest of the time. No, the scripture says that he is seated in a throne, ruling the world, because he was resurrected from the dead. He is not in a tomb. And here we have many eyewitnesses of these things. They saw Jesus Christ. They ate with him. They talked to him. They learned with him. They prayed with him. They sing with him. They saw him ascending to heaven. We will be there in the next weeks, but it's very important here. Those things happen. And these people here, they die because they said that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. So, we have the eyewitness, we have the scripture, we have the gospel, and with all of these, verse 12 will introduce some in the church of Corinth that were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul asks that, almost not believing that these things could be possible. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? How can some of you say that he's still dead with so many situations that says that he is alive? It's impressive. How can our hearts become unfaithful with things that we cannot understand? But Paul is bringing to them what the results of their unfaith. They probably were still walking among the believers because they believed that rejecting resurrection, it was something that it will not be a problem for their faith. Like the liberals today, they say, we can be Christians and we can reject resurrection and the miracles and all those things. They still say they are Christians. Although their faith is completely different from the faith of the scripture, and of course, they are not Christians at all. But here, we need to deal with this truth. Do you want to reject the resurrection of the dead? Okay, let's see the result of this situation. If you don't believe, that it is possible to be raised from the dead, well, there is no raising from those who already died. Look to the scripture. Look to Stephen, for example. He made a very good sermon. He died because he said Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. He was stoned. Well, sorry, Stephen. You're lost. Your body will never come to life again because there is no resurrection of the dead. All the believers in the past, all the thousands, billions of believers, well, they cannot be born again. Their bodies are consumed and they will never become again alive. But this is just for the believers. This is just the beginning of the result of this not faith, unfaith. Well, look to Christ. If there's no resurrection of the dead, Paul will say, well, then Christ is dead. It's the obvious result. If Christ is dead, well, why are you here? Why are you listening to this preaching that we gave to you? Why do you believe in the gospel? There is no sense. Because if God didn't accept Jesus' offering for our sins, if he's still dead, that means that we are still in our sins. This is what Paul is saying in these verses 12 through 19. You are still in your sins. Verse 17 says, and if you are in your sins, well, sorry, nothing can save you from the wrath of God. He is a holy God, and he will not accept you with your sins. Someone needs to pay. Are you waiting someone to pay for your sins? Because Jesus Christ, if resurrection is not possible, he was not able to pay the price for our sins. He's dead. As all the other men, he's dead. Paul is bringing our attention to the fact that without resurrection, there is no gospel. And he goes further on this in the next verses, because he will say, well, if resurrection is not true, doesn't exist, well, God is lying. Because God said that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And the gospel says that Jesus was born from the dead. And if he didn't, well, everything is a lie, and there is no place for salvation among us. I don't know if you are seeing the result of those things, and if you are connecting those things with liberalism today, because they are doing exactly that. They are taking out those things which makes the gospel the truth of God, which saves people to God. If you can take off of a Christian mind that resurrection is truth, that resurrection really happened, you will destroy their faith. Paul already said that here to the Corinthians. If you stop to believe in one of those truths about the gospel, there is no gospel, there is no Savior, well, just go and live your life as you want. And this is what we are seeing in many situations. People who grow up in the church, when they know this theology, terrible theology, which says that there is no resurrection, there is no Son of God, there is no God who came to this world to pay the price of our sins, which says there is no sins. Well, what happens with them? They abandon the church, they abandon the gospel, they abandon the scriptures, they abandon Jesus Christ, and suddenly they are living like the ungodly. Because without one of these truths, we are lost. Satan is trying to destroy the church. And one of the ways he makes that is denying the resurrection of the body. But we don't agree with that. We reject every word which says that resurrection is impossible. But we only not reject. We believe in resurrection so deeply that we know that for sure all the believers of Jesus Christ and we as believers today will come to life again in the day of Jesus Christ. The fire will give back the bodies of the believers. When we see the fire consuming a person, we realize that there is nothing after that. It's just dust. Well, the fire will give back their bodies. The fire will replace the bodies because we believe in the resurrection of the body. The ocean will give back the bodies. Every believer will come back to life. We'll have the unity of the body with the soul come back again together, and we will be one, and we will see him coming from heaven to take us as his church. There is no place for unfaith for us that believes in Jesus Christ. He is alive, and he is the first fruits of the church. The believers today, they are not lost. The believers who die, they are not lost. They didn't believe in vain. They are with Christ. They are not dead. We believe in that because that happens among us. But for us, there is no death. The body will stop to work for a while, but we will be with Christ. In the exactly time that our body stops to work, we will see the face of Jesus Christ in His body, calling us to praise His name. There is nothing who can give us more hope than that. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, and we believe in eternal life with Jesus Christ. Our bodies will be changed by the power of Jesus Christ, and we will not die again. We will not participate in the problems that sin brought to this world. We will be with Him forever, with our bodies and our souls being exactly like they're supposed to be when God created man. There's no separation in heaven. We will be one in the presence of Christ. And this is only possible because resurrection, it's true, and will happen again in the last day. So look to what Paul is talking here and to what Heidelberg is talking about here. We believe in the resurrection and we have many benefits of resurrection. We know that we will come back to life again. We know that we are already partaking of the new life. We will never die completely because Christ paid the price of our sins. And at the end, in the last day, He will be the pledge of our hope. He will be everything for us. And being one, body and soul, exactly like God make us, we will be in His presence forever. Forever. Eternity. It's real. And we will be there. So, when someone speaks about the resurrection and uses that at something that doesn't happen, we should fight and proclaim that He is alive. We didn't see Him as Paul and the other apostles, but we can see the effects of His resurrection. And we are the effects of His resurrection. Why is it possible for us to be here tonight? Because He is resurrected from the dead. And being like that, He called us to be His people. We are here because He is alive. We will be with Him forever because He is alive. Tell me then, who else is alive in this world? Which other God or other person who can be compared to Jesus Christ? There is no one. Only on Him we can find hope to ourselves and to the Church of Christ. Believe He was born from the dead, and we will be born from the dead. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Let's talk to God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You because in that day, 2,000 years ago, You brought Christ to life again. And because He lives, we can hope tomorrow. Oh God, we want to praise Your name. We want to praise your name because we know that through his resurrection, we will receive our resurrection. We praise your name because we will never be lost. Because it doesn't matter what happens with us here in this world, our home is in heaven, and we will be entirely there one day with our bodies and our souls together.